Good to see all of you this morning. Really, really glad that you're here. Glad that you would bring the church into this room this morning. I want you to welcome, if you would, my favorite sister is here this morning, my only sister. And so Teresa and her husband Kevin and their kids Bailey and Braden, would you make them all feel really welcome this morning? And I think I've told you before about them. Their last name, true story, Batman. That's their last name, so if you go out to eat with them, you're waiting in line, and they'll be like, can we have your name? You know, you have to pull, you know, hold a table or whatever. They'll say, who are you? And Kevin will look at them and say, well, I'm Batman. And they'll say, no, really, who are you? And he'll show them their ID. So I'm really glad to be with my sister and her family for the holidays. I want to say just a word as we begin to all of you that isn't about the message this morning. Instead, it's just some things I wanted to tell you. I want you to know how incredibly proud I am of you as a church. And I'm totally sincere when I say that. You are some of the most generous people that I've ever met. You are deeply loving, incredibly generous, incredibly kind, and I'm so thankful. Almost every single week, I hear a story about people in our church or a small group in our church that's loving each other and loving our community well. I made a quick list, and I'm sure I left something out, but I mean, we were able to do Christmas boxes for Operation Christmas Child. You back up to like literally the week before that, we were able to do all these Thanksgiving baskets for 100 families in our community. Ruby's Pantry happened this week, and when Ruby's happens, it isn't just the people who serve that serve, like when people come through to get the food, but it's the paint daubers that they eat their breakfast and get their sustenance, and then they come over and set up the tables. And then Simon Surplus happened yesterday, and I was so came by for that. I was so excited for that. And then last week, there was the CR group did gifts for Angel Tree Kids, which is a super cool thing. And then we did the deal out here where we were able to give gifts for people who don't have gifts, and that's a super cool thing. And I'm proud of all of that. I'm really proud of how you love each other when people are going through hard times. And that's just something we have to keep up. Like, we have to do that and all the more. This week, we had a funeral right here in this room for Doug Seddon. And I think half of Hayward was here. I really, really do. This room was full to the brim. There were just a few seats that were left. And I watched how you all loved that family so well. Kari Snyder and her mom, Jackie. And I just want you to know how proud I am of you. As a church, you may say, well, that's kind of hokey, Chad, but I'm serious when I say it. I'm a firm believer that sometimes we wait until funerals to tell people we're proud of them or tell them that we love them or tell them that we care about them, and I just want you to know I love being your pastor. I really, really do. I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful to be your pastor. I want to say a word, too. We're going to do this 21 days of prayer coming up in January. And I will give you more info as we come. But I really want to help encourage you to kind of lean in on that one. And as we just trust God for what he wants to do in our lives, through our church, in our community, just to bless the world. And I'm really praying for that, for those days. Let me say a prayer for us. And then we'll jump right into the most peaceful sermon you've ever heard, okay? So Jesus, today, I ask that you would speak to us now. I ask, God, that you would speak peace into weary hearts. And I ask, God, today that you would show yourself to be strong in our midst. For anyone who comes into this room today and is weary, may they find hope and help in this moment. And we pray, God, that you would speak as only you can. And may we see Christ, just Christ. Amen. Amen. So a little old man was sitting on the front porch of his house. He was quite old. It was obvious by looking at him. He was sitting on the porch, and while he was quite old, he had wrinkles on his face. He didn't have very much hair. He was filled with joy. And a woman was walking by on the sidewalk, saw the man, and was frozen by how happy this old man looked. And so she walked up the little sidewalk, walked up on the man's front porch, and she said, "I can't help but notice how happy you look." And she said, "Can you tell me, what is your secret for a long and happy life?" The man said, "Well, I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes every day. I drink a case of whiskey every week. I only eat fatty foods, fried foods, and I never exercise." The woman said, "That is amazing. How old are you?" And he said, 26. I've been sitting on that one, Doug, for like 8 months, I want you to know. I've been wanting to bring it out at the right time. 26. There's a whole lot of people in the world that are trying to find joy and peace in a whole lot of different ways. There's a whole lot of people that are trying to find peace in a whole lot of different ways. There are peace people who look for peace in the bottom of a bottle. If you don't believe me, you can go home today. You can YouTube or pull up the song "My Kind of Party" by Jason Aldean, country music. I'm a country music fan, and he will have a line in his song that will say, if you're at the party, you can look for me. I'll be the guy in the corner looking for peace at the bottom of a bottle. At the bottom of a bottle. There are people who look for peace when they strike a match and they smoke something, and they have the hope of finding peace in that. There are people who are looking for peace by looking for a person, Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, the right man, the right woman, the right person, because if I have the right person, then I'll have peace. There are people who under-exercise looking for peace, and there are people who over-exercise looking for peace. There are people who under-eat looking for peace, and there are people who over-eat looking for peace. And yet, people looking for it in the bottom of a battle, people striking matches, people looking for the right person, people under-exercising, over-exercising, under-eating, overeating. At the end of the day, they come up empty. So if you're here today and you're looking for some peace, if you're here today and you're having a hard time finding peace, I've got a story for you. It's a great story. It's a story about a young girl, and the earth was shaking underneath this girl's feet. Every circumstance that she faced would throw even the best of us off kilter, and yet this young girl was able to find a place of peace in her soul, and her name was Mary, and she was young. She was just a teenage girl. We don't know a whole lot about Mary. We don't know a lot about her life before she gave birth to Jesus. We don't know a lot about how she raised Jesus. We know that one day she and Joseph did lose Jesus at the temple. That's an interesting story sometimes. So we don't know what kind of parents they were. We don't know when Mary died. We don't know where she died. And we read about her. When we read about her, we read about her in the story of the birth of Jesus. And then after that, we don't hear very much about Mary. She has like a cameo appearance in the Gospels. Her name is mentioned. And then in the book of Acts, her name is mentioned, but she has no more speaking parts at all in the Bible whatsoever. But Mary shows us in an amazing story that it's possible to find peace when your world is falling apart. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says this. If you have a Bible, this is in your Bible too. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you have a smartphone, you can go to, you can download the YouVersion app on your smartphone, and you can read it there. And if you don't have a smartphone, then next week you can bring your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible for Christmas. How about that? And so Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." How will Mary respond to this? I mean, this is a pretty big announcement. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. By the way, you would be very troubled too. If somebody just standing at the next gas pump over at the Quick Trip said to you, "Greetings, woman, you are highly favored, and you will be with child, and you will give birth to the Messiah," you'll be going to a different gas station next time. You would. Mary was greatly troubled, and you would be too. You'd be calling Joel over at the police station about this. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Whoa, wait a minute. How is it that I am a teenage girl, and I'm being told that I'm pregnant with the Messiah, and this is a good thing? I found favor with God. We'll get to that in a minute. You will conceive, you will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. So the angel is even saying, "I'm going to tell you the name." Remember when you named your firstborn? I don't think it was really popular to be like, "Hey, everybody, you give us the name. You tell us exactly what to name this child." I didn't really want what other people thought. I wanted what Julie and I thought to name Chase. Mary was troubled, and you will conceive, and you'll call him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the father David. It's just getting more and more intense. Wait a minute, what? He's a king, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end? Wait a minute, time out. I'm a teenage girl. And so Mary asks a question that you would ask. How can this be? Since I'm a virgin. Like, Mary did the math in her mind and said, all right, virgin means I'm not pregnant. And yet now the angel says, "You are a virgin and you are pregnant," and Mary will be pregnant. And Mary says, "How can this be?" And the angel says this. These are beautiful words. "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." I want you to know this, friends. What the angel is saying to Mary right here is something you need to hear today. The power of the Most High overshadows you. The Spirit of God wants to come on you so that the Holy One will be born in you and will be called the Son of God. And Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. If you underline in your Bible, you ought to underline verse 37. No word from God will ever fail. And Mary says this. Listen to the peace in this. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Now, Mary could have done a couple of things with the assignment that she was given. First, she could have resisted it. She could have resisted it. She could have, like, responded to the angel. She did have questions. She had some wonderings, just like any of us. How can this be, for I'm a virgin? But she could have resisted it. She could have said, "You know what? You got to find somebody else somewhere else. You got to find a different person, an older person." She could have resisted it. That's one thing she could have done. Or she could have gotten prideful about it. You ever meet somebody who's prideful that they're pregnant? I mean, you meet them and they're just like, "Oh yeah, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant with twins," and they tell you all about it. She could have been prideful. She could have been prideful that she was pregnant, and she could have been prideful all the more that she was pregnant with the Messiah. And this is a really big deal. This is no ordinary pregnancy. She could have started posting Facebook pictures all over the place, like, "You know, this is me at 2 months, 3 months, 4 months." She could have been prideful about it, but she wasn't. She could have. She was told he was the Messiah. She could have made some bumper stickers and smacked them on the side of that donkey that say something like this: "My son created your honor roll, student." I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. Huh? She could have done, or she could have made a bumper sticker like this: "My son can walk on water." Yeah, my son can walk on water. By the way, I got to say this. Somebody asked me the other day. They said, "Chad, you haven't lived until you've driven your car out onto a frozen lake." And you know what I told them? "Then consider me gone," is what I told them. because I'm not driving my car out on a frozen lake. I said, I will be the guy who drove out on the frozen lake, and the front page of Friday's paper, or Wednesday's paper, I mean, will be my Ford Edge with two wheels down in the lake. I said, I'm not going to be that guy. I said, it'll say Reverend McCollum. I don't want to be on the front page for that, I said. I told the funeral director the other day, Troy and I, we were talking about this, and I said, I don't want to be Reverend McCollum. He said, oh, Chad, they won't even call you Reverend McCollum. They'll say some idiot drove his car through the lake. That's what they'll say. So I digress. She could have been prideful. She could have said, my son can feed 5,000 with your son's lunch. She could have said that. She could have been prideful. She could have resisted, but she didn't. She didn't. Instead, she responded with humility. And ultimately, she found a place of peace. Now, living at peace is a hard thing to do. And living at peace is challenged. And as I see it in this story, living at peace is challenged when we have, you know, it'll be on the screen, an unexpected conversation. An unexpected conversation. Mary, she's just minding her own business. She's one day just minding her own business. And the angel speaks to her. And it is an unexpected conversation that happens. And Mary, in that moment, has some questions. This angel shows up and gives her amazing news that the Lord is with her, that she has found favor with God. And that, I tell you what, friends, unexpected conversations can knock even the best of us off kilter. Have you ever had an unexpected conversation? When the doctor says, there's nothing we can do? Or when the doctor says the tumor is malignant, or when the boss says you are being relieved of your duties, or your spouse says, I'm leaving, or the police officer says your loved one has passed, or your child says, I'm choosing my own path, I'm going my own way. Unexpected conversations rattle us. Unexpected conversations have the potential to diminish the peace that can be present in our lives. But also, unforeseen circumstances can do the same thing. Peace, a life at peace, can get rattled when we have unforeseen circumstances. She will conceive and give birth to a son and name him Jesus. Have you ever stood in Walgreens? Got to get my bag open. And held one of these in your hand. One of these. Mary did. I can imagine Mary in this situation. She finds herself questioning. She looks at the pregnancy test and it says it's positive and she will give birth to a son. I can picture Mary. This one is 99% accurate. You know who's even more accurate? An angel in the sky who tells you that you're pregnant with the Messiah, and it is an unforeseen circumstance. I remember when Julie and I, we had a real hard time having kids, and I remember when I found out that we were pregnant, and I say we, I know it was just Julie, but I felt like I was in it with her. I gained weight, sympathy weight, really, is what I did for her. And I was in Cambodia, and I was on a missions trip there with some guys from our church. And we had gone into a little internet cafe, and I called Julie from that little internet cafe, and she said, she told me that she'd had morning sickness, that she'd been throwing up. And she said, I think I'm pregnant. And true story, I said, how did that happen, is what I said. First words out of my mouth. Now, I know how it happened, just so you know, but how did that happen? And she said, I think I'm pregnant. And I remember I walked out of the little internet cafe, and the guys that I was with there, his name was Larry Hoff, Larry said, how's Julie doing? I was like, oh, she's good. And I'm grinning ear to ear, and he said, she's pregnant, isn't she? And I said, yeah, she's pregnant. I said, how'd you know? It's written all over your face, he said. She's pregnant. And then I said, yeah, she's pregnant. And then, true story, I'm walking down the middle of a little side street in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. And Larry's over here, and I'm here. We're all walking down the street together. And I said this as loud as I could. My wife is pregnant, and I am in Phnom Penh. pin Cambodia. And Larry turned to me and said, you don't need to tell everybody, Chad. Let's keep this down a notch. That unforeseen circumstance, man, I was excited, but I'll tell you what, I was rattled. And I got home and Julie said, I need you to buy one of these. I'm like, buy one of those? Really? Like, you just told me you were pregnant. Like, I need to buy one of these. And so I went to the store. And you ever buy one of these, guys? I'll tell you right now. Like, you just check your man card at the door when you buy one of these. And you can use it any time of day, it says, by the way. You can use it any time of day. 2 a.m, you can use that thing. I remember standing in front of the, I didn't know where these were kept. And so I, like, find, like, the oldest person, the oldest employee in the Walgreens, and I'm like, where do I find the pregnancy test? And, oh, sweetie, oh, that's so, no. Don't announce it. Like, oh, we need to clean up on aisle 5. Like, don't do that. And so she pointed me in the right direction. I remember I bought a whole bunch of toilet paper, and I put it on top of it because I didn't, like, trying to hide it when you go through the line. It was an unforeseen circumstance. And Mary had it too. I can imagine her hands were shaking. I can imagine there were tears in her eyes. I can imagine she kept thinking that phrase over and over again. You will conceive and you will give birth to a son. You will conceive and you will give birth to a son. Life is filled with unforeseen circumstances. We make our plans, one writer says, and God laughs. Life is filled with interruptions, inconveniences, and frustrations. Things break. Accidents happen. The dryer won't start. That was this week in our house. And just when you don't need another added expense, you say to yourself, how am I going to fix that? How am I going to address that, this unforeseen circumstance? I could go on and on, and you could too, because you've had some in your life. Or there's this. An unanticipated assignment. You will give birth to a son. You'll call him Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end, will never end. This is an unanticipated assignment. But I want you to realize that Mary's assignment wasn't just to bring a child into the world. Mary's assignment was to have full-term faith. Full-term faith. Faith that God is at work even though it doesn't make sense. Not just faith that you are delivering the Messiah, but faith that what the angel says is true. Unanticipated assignments often carry greater responsibility than we could ever imagine, and we often feel ill-prepared for those assignments. Anybody in this room that's ever lost someone that you loved? Anybody in this room that's ever lost somebody that you loved, when you start walking a road of grief, that feels like an unanticipated assignment. Anybody who wants to lead a family on a path that says, we've been going on this path, we've been doing it our own way, but now we're on a path where we're saying we want to honor God, that's an unanticipated assignment. Anybody who's teaching a classroom full of students and you say, look, who am I to be doing this? That's an unanticipated assignment. Anybody who's trying to coach a team, not just to win games, but to have people of greater character, that's an unanticipated assignment. Or if you're living single after years of marriage, that's an unanticipated assignment. Or you're trying to rebuild a relationship that's fractured or put a marriage back together, that's an unanticipated assignment. Now, sometimes these are big things, these assignments, these conversations, these circumstances, but sometimes they are small. They seem small. And though they catch us off guard, they do not catch God off guard. They are not random, meaningless events. These are the things that God uses to make us more like Christ. When your kid is sick in the night, it is where discipleship is formed in our lives. When a home repair has to happen and it's costly and it may not seem that important, God's at work in using that to become more like Christ. It is in the little things where we rely on God. It is in the little assignments where we obey him. It is in the little assignments where we give him glory. Paul Tripp says it this way, you and I do not live in a series of big dramatic moments. We do not careen from big decision to big decision. We live in an endless series of small moments. The character of your life is not set in 10 big moments. The character of your life is set in 10,000 small moments of everyday life. It is in the themes of those struggles that emerges who you are. It is in the very theme that emerges from who you are, from those little moments that reveals what's really going on in your heart. So you can live at peace. Let me tell you really quick three things about this peace, really quick, and then we'll be done. The first is this: peace does not depend on circumstances. Mary's circumstances did not dictate whether or not she was at peace or not at peace. Peace has everything to do with facing those circumstances and walking that road with peace. Author Oswald Sanders says, peace is not the absence of trouble, it is the presence of God. Peace is found in the presence of God, and Mary knows this. Understand, her circumstances were more than just being pregnant. She was pregnant and unmarried. That could get you killed in first century Israel. It was more than just being pregnant. She would have to tell Joseph and hope that he believes her. Can you imagine that conversation? She will face great shame every single day that she's walking down the street. People will whisper about Mary. I think she's showing. Is she pregnant? How is she pregnant? I always wondered about that Joseph guy. I don't know. She knows this all too well, and yet she says yes to God. Secondly, peace is active. It is not passive. It is active. Peace does not mean we just sit and we gaze off into the distance and we empty our minds of whatever. Peace means, no, we focus on God and we find peace in Him, not some mind-numbing, lifeless, nothingness. Peace does not mean we are being a doormat. It means that we wrestled. It says that Mary was confused and disturbed. And if you are here today and you are confused and disturbed, you're in the right church. Because there's some times in my life that I'm confused and disturbed. I was confused and disturbed on Friday when I stood on this platform and there's a man 47 years old in a casket. That is confusing and disturbing to me. I was confused and disturbed the year that my mother passed, and I still am confused about it somewhat, though probably a little less disturbed. It's in those confused and disturbed moments that God wants to meet us, that we seek God. And the story of Scripture is a story of people that are confused and disturbed. The whole conception of Jesus is confusing and disturbing. His birth is confusing and disturbing. Throughout his life, the religious leaders, young people, men and women, they were all confused and disturbed at what he taught. Then Jesus died. That's confusing and disturbing. Then he rose again. That's even more confusing and disturbing. See, God's way is not the normal way, and we do not find peace by being passive. We find peace by seeking God and taking all of those questions and all of those confused and disturbed moments, and we offer them to God. And we say, God, I can't carry them on my own. I give it to you. We ask Him our questions, and then we follow. We follow. Here's the last one. Only God can give us peace. Only God can give us peace. True peace comes from God. You say, well, I'm pretty much at peace today. I can tell you, if you are at peace and your peace source is something other than God, it is a cheap knockoff. It is a knockoff of the real thing. All peace is God's peace. All peace comes through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift. The year that Jesus gave us a gift. In John chapter 14, and this is the gift. It is peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is the gift a world can't give. You can't buy this at Walmart. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. I give you peace. The world can't give us peace. It promises us peace 1,000 different ways, but peace is found in Jesus. So what's our response to all of this? It's this. It's pray for peace. Pray for peace. What do you want for Christmas this year? What do you want for Christmas this year? Peace. Peace. Many years ago, in my opinion, probably one of the top three Christian artists ever was a man named Rich Mullins. Man, this guy was a legend, Sam. You a Rich Mullins guy, Sam? I bet you are. Yeah, Rich Mullins, man, this guy was good. He'd sit with a guitar and he'd sing songs that they came from his guts. I mean, these were not just, you know, Jesus is my best friend songs. These were deep songs. Listen to what Rich Mullins wrote. in one of his songs called Hold Me, Jesus. He said, sometimes my life doesn't make sense at all. The mountains look so big, my faith seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, because I'm shaking like a leaf. You've been king of my glory, won't you be my prince of peace? I wake up in the night, I feel the dark. It's so hot inside my soul, I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, because I'm shaking like a leaf. You've been my king of glory, won't you be my prince of peace? Surrender doesn't come natural to me, he says. I'd rather fight for something I don't really want than take what you give that I need. And I beat my head against so many walls, and I'm falling down, I'm falling on my knees. And this Salvation Army band, he says, is playing this hymn. And your grace rings out so deep, makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me, Jesus, because I'm shaking like a leaf. You've been king of my glory. Won't you be my prince of peace? You've been king of my glory. Won't you be my prince of peace? In Colossians, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Here's how I want to close today. I've asked Pastor Loretta to help me this morning, so she's going to join me. And today, we simply want to pray peace for you. Peace. And you would say, well, I can just sit right where I'm at. I don't have to come forward and have Loretta pray for peace. And I don't have to have you pray for peace. I can pray right where I'm at. You can do that. But the scripture says there's power when two or three agree in something together, when they agree together in prayer, when they agree together for that thing. We want to pray that for you. So we're going to sing a song, and as we sing it, I just invite you to come from where you are. We had some folks in first service that did this, and invite those of you that want to do this in this service. And all we're going to do, we're not going to ask for your life story. We're not going to ask for your credit card so we can go buy some more presents or anything like that. We're simply going to just pray peace for you. This is something that a year ago today, I did. We were at White River Christian Church in Noblesville, Indiana. We had gone to service, and after the service, I hunted down my friend Phil Heller, who was the executive pastor at that church. I told him that I was on a journey in my life. I told him that I had an interview coming up in a little town called Burnups. I told him that it was 22 below zero. He shivered when I told him that. And then I said, I just need you to pray for me. And he put his hand on my shoulder, and he prayed peace for me that day. And we want to do the same for you this day. So let's stand together. I want to pray. And then as we sing, I just invite you to come right from where you are. Don't wait. Don't be afraid. Oh, somebody's going to think I'm not at peace. Yeah, Mary was a little off kilter too. It's okay. So Jesus, today, we ask that you would provide peace in these moments to those who need it most, peace in relationships, peace in marriages, peace in families, peace for individual hearts, peace in the midst of all of our shaking and doubt. I pray that you would speak peace. In Christ's name, amen. As we sing, you come.